go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter number 48. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. In the furnace of affliction. Verse 10 again, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The Bible records, if you read the Word of God, you'll see that the Bible records that His people were often tried in the furnace of affliction. And God is referring to His people here when He says that He's chosen them in the furnace of affliction. We see that back in the days of Noah when he built an ark. It wasn't just a 1 week or 1 month endeavor. It took several years, decades, to build the ark. And the persecution and the laughter and frustration that Noah must have felt. And, of course, we know the story of Job and the trials that God allowed him to go through with Satan going after Job, his family, his children all destroyed, his possessions taken. Abram and Abraham, the many trials that Abraham went through in his life. And of course, Joseph being sold as a slave by his own brothers into Egypt. And the trials that God put Joseph through. And of course, David and his being hounded by King Saul. And the many trials that he had. And Daniel. Daniel in the time that he was captive along with his three friends in Babylon and Persia and thrown in the lion's den for simply praying to the true God. And the prophets and the many prophets, as it says in Hebrews 11, and their trials, and sometimes they were beheaded or sawn asunder or abandoned or outcast or whatever it might be. And of course, the apostles and what they went through after Christ left the earth and his resurrection into heaven and the suffering that history records of many of them. God's people are not a stranger to the afflictions, the furnace of affliction. And why is that? Why is it that God's people are allowed to go through the furnace of affliction? Well, it says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3, and I want to turn to Psalm 66 with you, but in Psalm 66 verse 10, we'll read that in a minute. Proverbs 17, 3, it says, the fine pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the heart. Psalm 66, 10 says, for thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Why does God allow His people to go through the furnace of affliction? And if you're not in the furnace of affliction, just wait a while, you'll be. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, there are things that God will allow you to go through in your life. In fact, if you're not a Christian, it's possible that God has allowed some affliction in your life to get you to see your need for Him. There comes a point maybe in the lives of people where they realize that they're getting older and death becomes more of a worry and more of a possibility as they get older. I believe that that's God's way of just maybe waking up some people to the attention that they will not live forever as they are. Whatever it might be, God wants our attention, but I want to specifically say that all precious things must be tried. If you're saved, then you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You are a child of God. The Bible says we make up His precious jewels, and yet if you are like me, you're not perfect. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, God didn't say, wow, man, what a deal I got when I got Matt first. He didn't say that. He didn't look down and say, wow, almost perfect as is. He didn't say that. And I'm going to tell you right now that precious things have to be tried. There's this thing called dross and tin and impurities that have to be brought out of the precious metal. That has to be purified and worked over. All precious things must be tried. Says there in Psalm 66:10, to prove them and to try them. Also, why? Why do we go through the furnace of affliction? Well, because the word Christian means like Christ, to be like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, some great verses to have memorized. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Listen, I said this a minute ago when I mentioned myself. I was not like Jesus Christ, and I'm still not like Jesus Christ in many areas, and that's why I have to go through the furnace of affliction. I have to be put through God's purification process, not because I still need to get saved. I'm saved already. But because I'm saved, God wants to refine me as silver is refined. God wants to make me more like his Son, Jesus Christ. I like to say it this way. Jesus is the only begotten Son, and I'm adopted into his family as a son, and so are many others. However, all of us adoptees, when we get adopted into the family, the Father says, you see my only begotten Son? He's perfect. And for the rest of your natural life, we're going to try to work on you to be like him, to be like Jesus Christ. I ain't there yet. How about you? And so for the rest of my life, the Lord is working on my life to make me and to refine me to be more like the Savior, to be more like Christ. And that's what the word Christian means. There's a lot of people using the word Christian. They're not Christ-like. But the furnace of affliction will do some purification. Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in manifold, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Ye have manifold trials, not just one trial, but many. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, we go through trials because we need it. And God allows us to be put into the furnace of affliction for our good. I like what the song says, Lord, I need you when the sea of life is calm. Lord, I need you when the seas are blowing strong, when the winds are blowing strong and the seas are billowing. I need you. I need you. And I'll just tell you right now, there's a lot of times when things are calm, I don't always think I need him. It's funny how when the wind starts to pick up and the storms of life come, how all of a sudden I need him. The truth is I needed him all the time. But I just don't notice it when I don't feel like it, when I feel comfortable. Over in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's a lie of the devil that says that if you're right with God, everything is just rosy and sweet. That there's never any problem and you never have any need for refinement. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as of a thief, or as of an evildoer, as of a busybody in other men's matters. Don't suffer that way. But if any man, verse 16, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Listen, folks, in this world we will suffer persecution. There'll be trials. There'll be tribulations. There'll be things that will come. And if it doesn't come from without, and if it's not coming from the enemy, God may allow it come in a different way, in a different fashion, but he wants us to be purified and tried before him. I was looking at these verses earlier in 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What an amazing love that we would be adopted into God's family. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world doesn't understand us, you and I, that are adopted and saved and part of God's family. Beloved, now. What time? What present tense? Now. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not like Christ. Therefore, there's going to have to be some work. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm already a son of God. But when he shall appear, I will be like him. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. He says over in Hebrews that whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It goes on to say, if you do not have any chastisement, that means you are not a son. It says the word bastard, because you are not a son of God. You're fatherless. If you're here and you're saying, well, God never gets after me for anything, let me tell you something. That's a real bad sign. If you don't ever have any furnace of affliction, you never have any spankings from your heavenly father, then I question whether he is your heavenly father. And I'm not saying that to look down at you. I'm saying that because I want you to question it for yourself. And think about it, friend. I don't enjoy the spankings of God. I don't enjoy the furnace of affliction. I've never said, wow, this feels so good. However, in the deep recesses of my heart and mind, I realize somebody cares enough to make sure this is happening. And I'm thankful for it. I'd rather have his attention than not have his attention. Why? Because all precious things need to be tried. That's what makes them valuable. And thirdly, what are the benefits of the furnace? Let's look at these benefits of the furnace, and we'll go over to Job chapter 23. Job 23 and verse 10. Job said, I mentioned him a minute ago, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What are the benefits of the furnace? Number one, it purifies us. As silver tries the things of this, is tried in the furnace of earth, so he purifies the hearts of men. Job says that though he's trying me, when he's done trying me, I will come forth as gold. I want to be more like Christ. In fact, I need to be more like Christ. In fact, my neighbor needs me to be more like Christ. My coworker needs me to be more like Christ. My relatives need me to be more like Christ. And I'm telling you right now, in my natural state, I don't get it done. I have a selfish nature. I have a pride nature. I have things in my life that are just not very Christ-like and are not very appealing. And they are not something that's attractive as far as Christ is concerned. And God uses the furnaces of affliction to purify those things out of my life. Not only does it purify us, it softens the material so it can be molded. Jeremiah 18 talks about the potter and the clay. That clay's got to be soft. Can't be hard, can't be frozen. It's got to be soft and warm and pliable. And the furnace of affliction softens the material so that it can be molded. And without the furnace of affliction, I am already satisfied. I am as good as I need to be. That's just how it is. And I'm hard to the truth, and I'm hard to the realities of what God sees in my life. But when he puts me through the furnace of affliction, I soften up. It's amazing how much more pliable I am. How I'm more bendable than I used to be. It's amazing how someone, when they've been told terminal cancer, all of a sudden, sometimes their heart is softened to, what is God trying to say to me? What does he want me to learn? What's going on? If you're like me, when everything's rosy, we're usually fairly calloused. It purifies us. It softens us. And I want to notice something else over in Psalm 119. Something else about the furnace of affliction. Psalm 119 and verse 67 and verse 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You know something else about the furnace? It's always brighter in the furnace. It's brighter. Can I tell you something? The word of God becomes more clear to me, and I'm more enlightened when I'm going through the furnace. When I'm just going through the motions, and I really don't have a care in the world, and everything's just hunky-dory, I'll just be real honest with you. I pull out my Bible reading, I read, I yawn, I check it off, and I go on my merry way. But you know what happens when my heart is broken, and I'm suffering affliction, and I'm hurting? It's amazing how the words jump off the page into my soul. It's brighter in the furnace. You know why that is? Because the furnace humbles us. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so the furnace causes us to be humbled. And humility brings about grace. And grace is what causes us to be enlightened. And to see things like we didn't see them before. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that if God was good to you, you'd never have a broken heart. I'm going to tell you right now, David said, a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. In fact, it says he's nigh to them that are of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The benefits of the furnace is it purifies us and it softens us. And it enlightens us. Notice something else in Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 3, there's a story of three young men who got thrown into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given the ultimatum that they were going to bow as soon as the music played. They were supposed to bow before this idol and worship Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they wouldn't bow. And then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, think about it, young people. Think about it, young men. Well, what if you were to be thrown into the fire? What if that was the ultimatum? You bow down and worship this false god. You worship my idol that I have made. You do what I want you to do, or we throw you into the furnace. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not choosing our words carefully. We know exactly what we're doing, and we've already decided. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He can if he wants to. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Young people, I wonder if you could make that choice. I don't think there's a fiery furnace in Custer that you got to be worried about getting thrown into. But I think that Satan has lots of different peer pressures and choices and things that you've got to make in your life. Mom and Dad, it's the same with us. We're afraid and we get fearful about the consequences of our decision and the ultimatums that people give and maybe an employer gives or a family member gives or something like that. And we're afraid to get thrown into that fiery furnace. But these young men said, we're going to do what's right. We're not going to bend and we're not going to bow. And if he doesn't deliver us, just understand we died obeying our God. I wonder if you and I could say that. Verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He's so angry, he said, crank it up seven times the normal heat. Verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. But the men that threw them in died. The next point I want to bring out is it purifies us, it softens us. It's always brighter in the furnace than not, because it humbles us and it causes us to see things like we never saw them before, and to be closer to the Lord and to be more right with the Lord and more in tune with the Lord. By the way, I mean, if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're about to get thrown in the fiery furnace, what are you thinking about, Abby? What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Let me tell you right now, as a Christian, I just know that I'm just a whole lot closer to God when I'm going through the furnace than not. I'm just more right with God when I am feeling the pressure. I'm just looking up and saying, God, what do you want from me? You have my undivided attention. We run from furnaces, don't we? We love comfort, don't we? But sometimes that discomfort is what gets our attention. But notice also, a lot of times it troubles the enemy more than it does the believer. The mighty men fell down dead after being thrown into this fiery furnace. The people around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being more troubled about this whole furnace thing than they were. Hey, Christian, listen to me. Your furnace of affliction and how you handle it, because you are a Christian and because you know God is your Savior and because you are on your way to heaven and you know that whatever God wants, all things work together for good. All things work together, and you know that that's the case. And so you, by faith and with a trust and a childlike faith, reliance upon what God's doing, you just say, I don't understand what God's doing, but I'm still going to trust him. Over there in the book of Acts, they threw Paul and Silas into prison. And the most irritating thing happened. After they had beaten Paul and Silas, after they had tried to break them down, they cast them into the deep, darkest dungeon. By the way, they didn't have cable TV there. There was no weight room. And they're just bound fast in the stocks with probably no light at all. And who knows what, crawling around. And what does the Bible say Paul and Silas were doing in Acts chapter 16? Singing! Can I tell you something? A lot of times, the enemy is more bothered with your furnace issue than you are. Because they know if it was them, they couldn't pass the test like that. They know if it was them, they'd melt down completely and be done. But there's something in you that's not going to ever melt. That's the part that's solid. And yeah, the dross burns off and the dross gets burnt away, but there's something there that the maker knows, that's what I'm after. That's what this whole refining thing's all about, is to show and to prove through them what I am, who I am. A lot of times, your relative, your coworker, your neighbor is more impressed with your furnace situation than with your comfort life. That's right. They're more impressed with how you handle yourself and how you continue to cling to your God, because they could never do that. The king said, throw them in. And his strongest men wilted. What do you think it did to the king at that point? I just fried my best guys. fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. In verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and looked up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Now I want to show you the fourth point here. What could be comforting about being in the furnace? Well, if you remember, the first verse we read today, we don't need to turn to it right now, but in Isaiah 48, verse 10, it says, I'm going to refine you, but not with silver. I have, what's the next word? I have what in the furnace of affliction? I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I just want to focus on that word chosen. Because the truth is, there are some people in here, there's some people in our church, there's people in our church family, people that you and I know, that God has chosen you to be in the furnace of affliction. Just like when the disciples and Jesus got into the boat, and he, in one case, he put them in the boat and he stayed on the shore. And they went out, and about halfway across the Sea of Galilee, the wind came up and it got very boisterous, and they were so afraid, it says they thought they were all going to drown. And at that time, Jesus came walking on the sea towards them. You remember the story? There's something that those disciples had forgot about. It's just very simple, but they just forgot about it. And that was this. Who put them in the boat? Jesus. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Folks, if you know that the furnace is happening and you know God's allowing it, then recognize what his choice is. Recognize what he's doing. Maybe he's not doing it himself, but he's allowing Satan to do it, just like he did with Job. He's allowing Satan to mess with Job. But Job said, I know that when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. I recognize that in spite of all of what's going on and how evil Nebuchadnezzar the king is and how awful this is, God has chosen me. And those young men said, we know that God can deliver us even in this fire. And if not, we're still going in anyway. Because we know this is obviously what God's allowing for a reason. The comforting thing about being in the furnace is knowing who chose you to be there. In spite of a lot of things, in spite of a lot of trials and tribulations, there have been times, and we have some visiting pastors here, I'm sure they would relate, but there are times when I, as a pastor, have just felt frustrated and afflicted and hurt, and yet, you know what? I stop and I say, but I am where I'm supposed to be. I get frustrated when I hear pastors quitting being a pastor to go do something else. I'm not God, and I'm not in charge of them and what they do. But I know for me, that a lot of times, well, that sounds like that would be easier. Well, that looks like a cushier situation. I think the grass looks greener. Hey, listen to me. Wherever he's got you, don't you dare leave. You say, yeah, but it's a furnace. Listen, he's still working on you, that's all. Don't walk away from him. Don't decide that you're going to check out because it's too hard. No, sir. No, ma'am. Remember, he's chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Those disciples forgot it. Jesus put them in the boat. They forgot he's the one that sent them across the water. Shouldn't they know that he's still in charge? But then the second thing to remember about the comfort in all this is, the king said, didn't we throw three men in, verse 24? Didn't we throw three men in, verse 25? Yes, king, we threw three in, verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Remember this, if you are saved, we believers are not alone in the furnace. We're not going through this thing on our own. If you're saved, Jesus is with you in the furnace. I love this. The king, he's all mad. He owns the furnace. He causes the dial to get cranked up 7 times hotter. He's the big honcho there. I mean, he's the big cheese. And yet he's standing there watching as the Son of God is protecting his people. And he's standing there watching and he's saying, I did the best I could to destroy them. And look what's happening now. Jesus was with them in the furnace. And it says they're all just walking around. They're not even in a hurry to get out. They're just walking around talking. And he calls the three, hey, come on back out of there. They're enjoying. Listen, I want to be careful how I say this. Because I really don't like furnace of affliction issues. I don't like furnace of affliction moments in my life. But I'll tell you what, the other half of me knows that's some of the best times. The flesh says, I don't want that. The spirit says, those are the close times. Shadrach, Meshach, what was it like talking to Jesus in the fire? Oh, you should have been there. It was awesome. He called us out. We didn't want to go, but we knew we had to go back out. We were enjoying. We were just walking around talking with in the furnace. See, your neighbors, they're just scratching their head. I don't get that. That doesn't make sense. How can you enjoy the furnace, why? Because of who's with me in the furnace, that's why. I don't even feel the flames because I'm with him. Back there in Job chapter 23. As we go back to Job 23, I remind you what it said there in Romans chapter 8. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Job 23:10. If you don't know the story of Job, he suffered greatly because of Satan being allowed to mess with him, and God was allowing Job to go through the furnace of affliction, no doubt. And amazingly, Job said in verse 10 of chapter 23, he knoweth the way that I take. I don't know it. I don't understand it. He knows. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I love the song, Rejoice in the Lord, written by Ron Hamilton, who had his eye removed because of cancer years ago, now has dementia. But Ron Hamilton wrote many, many songs and was influential in my life and many other people's lives. But one of probably his greatest testimonies and greatest song was Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of every path that I take. And when I am tried and purified, I will come forth as gold. I don't understand what God's doing, but I know he's trying me. I know I'm one of his, and I know that I'm not going to burn away to nothing, but he's burning off the dross and the parts that he doesn't need in my life. And I don't know why he's doing it, but he's melting that part down. But he's making it so that I'll come forth as gold. And I heard this a long time ago from someone else who said that when a goldsmith, when someone is refining gold, they were asked, how do you know when you're done? When do you stop the refinement? How do you know when you finally got the gold as pure as you need it to be? He said, when that gold is so shiny and so mirrored that I see my own reflection in it, then I stop. Now you think about God the Master. When does he stop? When he sees himself in us. When he refines you and I to the point where it's him shining back. That's why we go through the furnace. Because our neighbors aren't impressed with me and you. But they would be with Jesus. And they need to see Jesus. And they need to see you and I just melt down of all the junk and see Jesus Christ instead. That's why he's chosen us in the furnace of affliction.